Hey! What's the matter? I'm walking here! Up yours, you son of a...
The interesting thing about Midnight Cowboy is that it really holds up. I've seen that, you know.
Actress Sylvia Miles is still celebrated for her performance in the 1969 film Midnight Cowboy.
Could you believe that? I forgot to get to the bank and now it's too late. Listen, I have to take a taxi.
In which she out-hustles the would-be hustler, Joe Buck.
You know, Cass, that's a funny thing, you mentioning money. I was just about to ask you for some.
People stop me on the street and say, oh, I loved you in your movie. And I say, oh, what? And they say, oh, Midnight Cowboy. Like, it's the only movie they ever saw, you know.
People do remember that movie so vividly. The ultimate coming to New York to make it movie with the darkest possible twist to it.
I'm Joe Buck from Texas.
And Rico Rizzo from the Bronx.
And I'm going to buy you a drink. What the hell do you think of that?
Well, I don't mind if I do.
Midnight Cowboy, which will be introduced by Ms. Miles at a screening this weekend, comes complete with an unglamorized view of the old Times Square before it was remade into the theme park it is today. It was part of a wave of unglamorous New York films, Taxi Driver, Clute, Mean Streets, French Connection, to name just a few, that burned themselves into the minds of moviegoers in the late 60s, early 70s, which was also just about the worst period for New York City. Talk about unglamorous.
You'd have to go back, I think, to something like the draft riots in the 1860s during the Civil War to find a time when New York was so troubled and had so many problems.
James Sanders, architect and author, is Mr. New York in the movies at the moment, with a couple of books out on the subject, a series on Turner Classic Movies, and an exhibition of New York on Film artifacts opening today. He reminds us that these movies were the result of a confluence of events. For one thing, the whole business of drama was changing.
You had these homegrown New York actors, or if they weren't homegrown, they had all gone to the New York acting schools, the Actors Studio, and the Strasberg preparation, and the Method, and all of that. So you had this search for a kind of greater authenticity.
And there was also a mayor, John Lindsay, who in the relative chaos of 1966 made a decision to pave the way for artists and filmmakers to do their work in this city, in the founding of the New York City Office of Film, Theater, and Broadcasting. That had its effect on the amount of production possible on city streets. But it's hard not to believe that the real reason for the explosion of piercing, penetrating movies was the explosion in the city itself.
The sanitation strike is now on its sixth day. Uncollected refuse is piled.
Well, the tenants are just throwing out the window, doing everything else they can.
This stuff must be removed from the streets today.
Any student who is arrested will be immediately suspended for an indefinite period.
New York is a mess.
A police slowdown and a fireman slowdown and the fuel oil deliverers go on strike.
In a city noted for its tolerance, conditions are rapidly becoming intolerable.
Even now, the city hasn't completely shaken that image. And that's partly because the films of this period reinforced the growing notion all over the world that New York was an out-of-control, kill-or-be-killed kind of place.
What is it? The phone rings, you answer, there's nobody there. Kids getting their kicks, burglars finding out if the apartment's empty. It happens all the time in New York. It doesn't mean anything.
The city in these films was more than a backdrop. It was an organism with its own properties and illnesses.
May 10th. Thank God for the rain, which has helped wash away the garbage and the trash off the sidewalks.
And filmmakers just couldn't resist it.
I'm working long hours now.
As New York went to the edge of its existence, movies picked up the flavor of it and created the range of rich characters we all imagined were inhabiting the city's darkest corners.
All right, Popeye's here. Get your hands on your heads. Get off the bar.
Think of Popeye Doyle in The French Connection. You know, is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? Well, he's sort of both. But one thing you know is, God, does he feel real? Does he feel like a real New York cop trying to do his job? Running roughshod over the rules.
We say we pop by down the shade for a half an hour, so I'll have
Jimmy,
a couple drinks.
For Christ's sakes, I'm beat. I'm going to go. All right. One drink.
Midnight Cowboy, directed by an Englishman, John Schlesinger, written by a blacklisted writer, Waldo Salt, may be the most New York of all of them, in the way it combines all the genres into one. The making it in New York movie, the buddy movie, the drug culture film, the outsider who can't get in.
In New York, no rich lady with any class at all buys that cowboy crap anymore. They're laughing at you on the street.
And there's the famous shot of a man lying on the street in front of Tiffany's, people stepping over him, barely noticing. Joe Buck stops and stares, and then walks on.
That is really the theme of these films. It's not crime, even the crime ones. I mean, there have been movies about crime for decades in New York. Crime was hardly a new theme in New York. The new theme was disorder, the breakdown of order in the broadest possible sense. People not caring about each other, not being willing to do anything to kind of sustain the city.
I want you to do me a favor.
Even the smaller films of the era had that unblinking stare at New York.
I want you to go up to 119th Street.
A little park on 72nd Street, now known as Verde Park, was called Needle Park in those days.
I want you to score for me.
And it can be seen in all its faded glory in the film Panic in Needle Park, coming out on DVD next month.
You're not just asking me to score for you, you're asking something else.
Remarkable that one period of 8 or 9 years could have had such a strong profile across different films, genres, directors. The only thing all these movies had in common was the inspiration that came from one city during its darkest hours.
He wants to kill me so bad he can taste it!
And together they told a kind of story of the time. James Sanders wants us not to get too caught up in that idea.
You can't get the truth from the movies. Don't try to get social or historical truth from the movies. Movies are wonderful at giving you inner truths. These are movies, and they were about their own reality.
Maybe so, but you could certainly argue it the other way. Of all times, those New York movies in that period may have given us the closest thing we'll ever find to truth about our vanished city.
Anybody who's done any kind of reading about the 60s, you know, in New York, you can see it all reflected in the films. That's why everybody loves those films of the late 60s and 70s. So it's so great.
Do we want that New York back? Do we miss it? The garbage and the strikes, the loss of social order? No, but it was a city that felt like no other city ever felt. And, oh, the art it produced. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishkin.